Welcome to the Deep Dive, your shortcut to being well-informed. We take a stack of sources and pull out the most important nuggets for you.
That's the idea.
Today, we're diving into the life of Ludwig Poulain. Now, his name, it might not immediately ring a bell for everyone listening.
Probably not, no.
But he was a really towering figure in German banking. He didn't just see the system change. He was the change in many ways.
He embodied it, yeah.
A visionary, definitely a reformer, and then later, maybe surprisingly, a really crucial voice of warning.
That warning part is key.
So our sources for this deep dive, they paint this fascinating picture. You've got a guy starting as a simple savings bank apprentice.
Humble beginnings.
And becoming this architect of modern finance. But what's really compelling, I think, is how he was always grappling with these deep ethical questions.
Why? About the industry he himself was building. It wasn't just about the numbers for him.
Exactly. And that journey offers some, you know, quite surprising lessons for all of us today.
Definitely. So our mission here is to really unearth those key insights from Poulain's journey. We'll look at his groundbreaking work in international banking.
Which is quite something at the time.
And then shift to those remarkably accurate warnings he gave later on. And crucially, we want to explore his philosophy, this idea of what a banker should be.
That bankier versus banker distinction.
Precisely. And why that whole concept is still incredibly relevant, especially for you trying to navigate, you know, all the complex financial news out there.
Okay, let's unpack it then. His story starts, what, 1937?
1937, yeah. A savings bank apprentice. Staatssparkasse Remscheid, a municipal savings bank. Very local.
And you have to picture the German banking scene back then. It was mostly regional, right? Very relationship-based.
Absolutely. Worlds away from the global system we know now. Local, relationship-driven, quite insulated, really.
And yet, from that start, his rise to the public sector banking hierarchy was, well, pretty meteoric, wasn't it?
It really was remarkable, especially because that system, the public sector banks, it was deeply tied to state and local government, not usually known for rapid upward movement.
Right. Bureaucratic, maybe?
Often, yes. But he went from association auditor to various board positions, and then bam, 1966, he takes charge of the Landesbank for Westfalen-Jerusenthal.
Okay, and a Jerusenthal, that's like a central bank for the regional savings banks.
Essentially, yes, a coordinating body. And get this, he took charge just 2 years after joining that specific institution.
2 years. Wow. That is fast. How did he manage that?
Well, the sources point to a sharp mind, definitely, real drive, and this strong conviction in his ideas. He wasn't afraid to challenge things, even early on.
Interesting. And his momentum just kept building.
It did. Fast forward just 3 years, 1969. That's the pivotal moment. The founding of Westdeutsche Landesbank.
Like EOB, that became a giant.
The biggest bank in Germany at the time, and Poulain was its first CEO. But he didn't just make it big, he pushed it aggressively onto the world stage.
Internationalization.
Exactly. Setting up branches, Luxembourg, London, New York, and acquiring big stakes in major companies like Prisag, Gildemeister.
And for people watching then, that kind of aggressive global move from a public sector bank, that must have been quite a shock.
It was definitely surprising. It really pioneered a new, much more aggressive model for German banking on the international scene. It showed a level of determination, maybe even ambition, that wasn't typical for that system.
Okay, so he's building this banking powerhouse. But at the same time, he's got this other major role, right? President of the German Savings Banks and Giro Association.
Yes, simultaneously starting in 1967. And his vision there was, well, pretty radical for the time, too.
What was he aiming for?
He wanted to free the savings bank system from what he called political tutelage.
Political tutelage, meaning less government interference, letting them operate more like independent businesses.
Exactly that. More autonomy, more commercial focus, ready for a globalizing economy. But as you can probably guess,
that didn't go down smoothly.
Not at all. He ran straight into massive resistance. You had these entrenched traditional structures, deep political connections within the savings banks. They pushed back hard.
And he wasn't one to back down, was he?
Apparently not. His stance was pretty uncompromising. And ultimately, it led to him resigning from the presidency in 1972.
Wow. So he walked away rather than bend on his principles.
It seems so. It really highlights that conviction you mentioned earlier. He valued the principle, his vision for a modern system, more than holding on to that powerful position.
Okay, so beyond building institutions and fighting those battles, Poulain left behind something else, this philosophy of banking.
Yes, this is really unique. His famous distinction between the bankier and the banker.
Right. Can you break that down? What did he mean by bankier?
So for him, the bankier with an IER embodied these classic virtues: integrity, the ability to really listen, patience. He actually said, and I'm quoting here, "The bankier was a distinguished man, not a pretender. He was therefore a gentleman who mastered the art and patience of listening." It's about trust, long-term view.
The old school ideal, perhaps.
Kind of, yeah, rooted in relationships and societal standing.
And he contrasted that with the banker with an ear.
Sharply. He saw the banker as more, let's say, instinct-driven, focused on the transaction, the short-term gain, sometimes maybe morally unprincipled in that pursuit.
It sounds like he was already seeing a shift, even back then, a move away from that traditional ideal towards something else.
Exactly. And for Poulain, this wasn't just, his personal preference. It was a deep critique. He felt the banking system was becoming alienated from its societal role, its responsibilities.
Which, when you look around,
This really makes you ask, doesn't it? Which model are we seeing more of now, the bankier or the banker?
that is a powerful question. It makes you think about what's really driving modern finance. Okay, let's shift gears slightly. There was a major turning point in his own career, wasn't there? 1977, the Poulain affair.
Yes, that was a big one. It started with a controversial consulting contract. Details are a bit complex, but it ultimately led to his early resignation as chief of WestLB.
Right. And even though he was eventually acquitted in court,
Yes, legally cleared.
his public image took a serious hit, at least initially. How did he handle that? Did he just disappear?
Not at all. Poulain seemed to have this knack for turning even a crisis into something else, an opportunity, perhaps. He stayed very connected to the business world.
How so?
Consulting, serving on supervisory boards, Marseille Clinic and AG is one example mentioned. But this period, being slightly outside the day-to-day running of a massive bank, it gave him distance.
Ah, perspective.
Exactly. It seems to have allowed him to sharpen his analysis, to see the broader trends in banking more clearly, without those immediate operational pressures.
And that's when he became more critical of the direction banking was taking.
Very much so. He transformed really into this sharp critic of some of the very developments he'd, well, helped initiate earlier in his career. He started issuing these warnings.
Warnings about what specifically?
Things like globalization frenzy, as he called it, and the decline, as he saw it, of ethical principles within banking. He became quite outspoken.
And some of those warnings sound incredibly relevant now, almost prophetic.
They really do. There's this famous unheld speech from 2004. It was about ethos and morality in banking.
Unheld. He wrote it but didn't deliver it.
Apparently so, but reading it now, it's like a blueprint for the financial crises that hit just a few years later in 2008.
Wow, what kind of things did he predict?
Well, he warned about finance becoming detached from the real economy, the dangers of unchecked leverage, complex instruments nobody fully understood. Sound familiar?
Painfully familiar.
Yeah.
So he saw it coming.
Mm-hmm.
That really underscores his foresight.
It absolutely does. And he remained this respected elder statesman figure right up until his death in February 2015, still consulting for big names like Willy Brandt earlier on and companies like Grundig.
So bringing this all together, what's the lasting takeaway from Ludwig Poulain? What's his legacy for us, the listener?
I think his life really mirrors the complexities of Germany's post-war story, doesn't it? The incredible recovery, the push into globalization, both the opportunities and the dangers that came with it.
And that tension between tradition and innovation.
Exactly. His legacy isn't just the banks he built or shaped, it's that core belief he held on to, that banking has this profound societal responsibility. It's not just about profit.
Yeah, that feels incredibly relevant today. In a financial world that often seems obsessed with short-term gains,
Right.
Poulain's principles,
Right.
his idea of the bankier, they seem more important than ever. He really embodied that ideal, didn't he? Understanding that real success in banking isn't just the bottom line.
But about connecting that economic success with social responsibility, a much harder balance to strike.
Absolutely. Which leaves us with a final thought, something for you to really chew on. In this incredibly fast-paced, interconnected world we live in now, are we encouraging the rise of more bankers in Poulain's sense, or more bankers? And maybe more importantly, what are the long-term consequences for all of us, for society, depending on which path we choose?